Hello there, good people. I hope the day has greeted you well. I am full of energy today. Last week I was a little low on energy, but that is life, right? We all go through it like that. We are fatigued. We are just tired. All of those things. But I am so happy that we are launching Cool People today. Yes, our very first Cool People episode is today. Of course, we will keep the Cool Sora and Cool Bruh coming as expected, but definitely wanted to open up to folks who are not in fraternities and or sororities. And I thought it was apropos to kick it off with my business partner and friend, Anthony A.J. Joyner. So he has such a diverse background, starting his college career off in architecture, then transferring over to computer information systems. And now he's a digital marketing genius. Everything that has occurred in my life from the business side of Rashan Ali has definitely been under the tutelage and guidance of Anthony A.J. Joyner. And he is just a brilliant man. I call him somebody who has a million-dollar mind. And that is what I'm aptly titling this particular episode for Cool People. Here he is, Mr. Anthony A.J. Joyner with Million Dollar Mind. Enjoy. Cool people do cool things.
But once you realize, like, I can't get what I need from that situation, I have to like do some personal self-development. Then you go to the next level.
I encourage people to get out of your comfort zone. What was your normal before? You got to outsmart yourself. You got to introduce yourself to a new way of living.
Cool people say cool things.
You need to make sure that people know who you are and what you stand for.
And so I learned I have got to have unshakable belief in myself to be able to go out there and demand what it is that I know I deserve.
I'm Rashan Ali, and this is Cool People. Just be cool. All right, everybody. This is monumental. This is a monumental day because this is the first ever Cool People episode of the Cool Sora podcast. It's been a long time coming. I've been putting it off. I don't know why I've been putting it off. Maybe because the Cool Sores and Cool Bras were coming at just a high rate of speed. I hope I'm saying that right. But now I thought, what better way to kick off Cool People than to have someone who was truly, and he hates when I do this, like truly the mastermind behind the Cool Sora podcast, the sidekick, the amazing webinar that we did a few years back. But I'm just really happy to have him not only as a visionary for our business, but also as a friend. And I'd like to introduce to you, I know y'all hear me say his name all the time, Mr. Anthony A.J. Joyner. Hello, sir. How are you?
What's up, Rashan? What's going on, sister?
I'm doing great. I'm really happy to have you a part of the podcast to kick off the Cool People portion of our podcast. And this is great. Now, you know, I talked to Nicole Garner, who's a Cool Sora of Alpha Kappa Alpha and who you have worked with. And we were talking about you one day and I was like, he has a millionaire mind. And I'm like, yeah, he has a millionaire mind. What do you attribute to your way of thinking as someone in the marketing space, as just a human being?
So, as it relates to business, I'm always looking about what are the gaps? Uh-huh. What are the gaps between what exists and what doesn't exist?
Okay.
Right? So if I can always fill those gaps, then I can always add value.
Right,
so that's
right.
How I look at it.
Okay, so you would call yourself, you said digital marketing, but there's so much that encompasses that, from strategy to consulting to even almost like branding as well. But let's talk about your background and how you even got to this point right now. You went to Southern University.
SU,
go Jaguars.
Baby.
Yes.
SU, baby.
And you majored in architecture first, and then you went to computer information systems. So take us back there. What even got you interested in the architecture space, and then why'd you change it to CIS?
So this is something you may not even know about me, is that I draw.
What?
So, yeah, I draw. And I was really good at math. Mm-hmm. So drawing and math kind of led to architecture.
Right.
As a kid, I would literally draw everything that I saw. And actually, while I was at Southern, I used to make money by selling my drawings to people.
Really? Do you do that? Do you draw anymore? I mean, you just haven't found the time?
I still do with my daughter, Aniston, sometimes. Uh-huh. But yeah, I draw. And that was my initial like, okay, I'm good at math. I can draw. I'm kind of a visionary person. Right. I should be an architect, uh-huh. right? Isn't that what your high school counselor?
Right, right.
They
yeah.
look at what you're good you at.
Can, right, right, and point you in that
and they
direction.
Point you in that direction. Right.
Yeah, yeah. So, Yeah. So when in the process did you realize that that wasn't you?
It's not that I realized it wasn't me, but I looked at after a conversation with my uncle, who was a computer science major. I looked at where the world was going. Even back then, computers were starting to, again, this is
take
the
over.
90s, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It was early in the game, but you were starting to see that direction of technology or things starting to happen. So I said, you know what? If I can get in this early, then I'll always have opportunities to create value for people.
Right. So you switch it up. What year did you switch it up?
Freshman year.
Oh, you realized
right
pretty
out, right
pretty
out,
early.
Right out the gate. Yeah.
And so, and obviously, you know, we come from a background, both of us, and many folks, where you get your degree, you get your good job, then you get your good corporate job, and that's exactly what I'm sure growing up in Leesville, Louisiana, your family said this is the trajectory that you should be on. And you did that.
Everybody in my household had to go to college, number one.
Mm-hmm. That's a good thing.
That was a good thing, right? But then all my uncles went to Southern.
Okay.
All my grandmother's siblings went to Southern. So it was literally Southern University.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew sixth grade I was going to Southern University. So
right.
I followed the traditional Joyner family thing going to Southern University.
Right. And so when you graduated, what happened after that?
So, well, first of all, let me take a step back because I came to Atlanta for Freaknik before.
Oh, God.
So I went back to Southern like, bruh, all the girls in Atlanta be on top of the cars.
Oh my, so you really thought,
right.
in your mind.
I was like, every weekend, I just thought that's how it was.
Right.
You know, I'm from the country anyway, so we kind of out there with our thinking a little bit. But yeah, so I came to Atlanta, and I knew from that moment that Atlanta's where I was going to land.
Okay. So did you come here immediately as far as your first corporate job? Or
yes.
Okay.
So, and oddly enough, my first corporate job wasn't really that corporate. I'm sure you remember Bill Campbell when he ran for mayor.
Yes.
So I actually campaigned as a volunteer for him.
Okay.
Like, wait, was this before the Olympics? Maybe right after the, I don't know. It was right around the time of the Olympics.
Right.
Anyway, so in doing that, I met a ton of people, right? So the first job that I got was through networking. I can't remember the gentleman's name, but he was a professor at Morehouse.
Mm-hmm.
He literally connected me to Georgia Tech, to the HR department. I never even interviewed.
So it was just about like through networking.
Networking.
So it's funny how, you know, you do this digital marketing and all this. All these things were kind of being put into place as to what you do now.
Way back then.
Yeah.
There was a program. They were preparing to close down the housing projects. I'm sure you remember Herndon Homes.
Yeah. Right?
Yes. Yeah,
that was gentrification at its
way
core.
Back in
yeah,
the 90s,
way back
right.
in the 90s.
So Tracy Langford, Michael Langford,
yeah.
I'm sure you know the Langford family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tracy Langford, she said, you know what, you're going to be somebody one day. So she introduced me to Michael Langford and then a lady named Denny Wilson. And I helped Denny Wilson with a welfare to work program. They were giving people MARTA passes to go to school to
mm-hmm.
learn about computers back
right.
in 97, 98. So that was way back then.
Yeah.
So that was kind of my roundabout way into the whole IT. I never really took a interview for it. I
right.
just kind of got placed. Yeah.
Right. So Department of Transportation, CDC, you're doing all of these jobs. When did you become tired of working for someone else? When did you realize that, hey, I'm really an entrepreneur at my core?
That was kind of an accident too.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of an accident too. So here's what happened. This is way back before blogging or any of this stuff. I started sending out emails to my friends,
mm-hmm.
25, 30 people. And I would just write stories, just funny things. That I was single, dating in Atlanta, whatever. And that kind of took its own little life.
Right.
Right. So it went from 25 friends to 75 to 100. Next thing you know, people were contacting me, asking me would I do events at their restaurants
uh-huh.
in different places around Atlanta.
Right.
And that was my first real taste, because I was very content at the time with having a real, finger quote, good job
mm-hmm.
and then just doing everything else like after work or whatever. So
right.
that was my first foray, if you will, into entrepreneurship.
And so you were like establishing a database. And so, but you've always been in entertainment as well. Like you've had your foot in corporate space, but you the life of the party as well.
I grew up loving having a lot of people around.
Okay.
Even though we didn't have a lot growing up, our grandmother was always open to inviting other people over.
So you're very social.
Yeah, we'd have sleepovers with 12 kids over.
Uh-huh.
And my grandmother had these French doors in the middle of her, which separated the living room from the dining room. So we literally put like mattresses on the floors And we would have the girls on one side and the guys on the other side, and we would literally just chop it up. And that
all
was,
night.
That was my social young teenage years.
Yeah. So when you were in this kind of teetering between the two, like, what exactly were you doing in Atlanta as far as the entertainment piece?
So I was doing events at restaurants.
Uh-huh.
We used to, me and a friend of mine, her name is Joy, she'll listen to this, but we were doing relationship roundtables way back in the 90s.
Now, were you married at this time?
I was still single.
Still single. Okay. Yeah. You did say that. Okay.
Yeah, I was still single. So again, everything was kind of me playing around, trying different things, always trying to create something that wasn't there. And one thing eventually led to the next.
Yeah.
Eventually led to the next.
Right.
So,
so what was that next? So you're doing these relationship panels, being an expert, promoting stuff, and then you start promoting parties. Like, where did the party stuff come in?
So that was kind of like a natural progression.
Right.
Right. At first it was poetry, because I think poetry was hot back then. Love Jones, I think.
Oh, God,
yeah,
I love
right? Remember, everybody was...
Let me tell you something. You couldn't tell me I wasn't... what's the pretty girl's name? Lord Jesus.
Nia Long.
You couldn't tell me. And I was like, when I... Yeah, people said that. I used to think, like, man, I'm going to get me an apartment in New York, and I'm going to have wine and jazz playing. I used to want to be her so bad. That whole movie, the whole scenario, relationship, all of that.
Yeah.
I wanted all that. But anyway.
Yeah. So that was it. It was first it was the events. Then it was the poetry sets. I wasn't a poet, but you couldn't tell me I wasn't.
Right.
I could write words that rhyme. And then it just progressed into parties.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I started to say, you know what? I can do this. But here's something that happened. Remember Connecticut School of Broadcasting?
Yes, like I remember that. Yes.
One of my friends said, dude, you should go to radio. You have an email list. You have this. You have that. So I went to Connecticut School of Broadcasting.
Really? Now, I finally meet someone who went there. I think I met a couple of people along the way. Did they just take y'all poor money?
You know what? Actually, I did learn.
Okay.
I learned a lot. But it was, now looking back, it definitely was a money grab.
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't, because they didn't really care about you being placed. Some of the people did get placed, but it was more about your ambition.
Right.
About you being placed, because I took my little packet and I went around to every station. I was
like but I went to
Connecticut. I got 1,000 email lists, and I went to Connecticut School of Broadcasting. I need a show.
Right. would they look at you like, nah, dog, it don't work like that.
Like, I was great. Who the hell are you? But they did tell you, though, in Connecticut School of Broadcasting, that you would never be able to start in Atlanta.
Yeah.
You'd have to go to, I think they call it a C market.
Like in the hundreds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like 162 market, you know,
exactly.
Atlanta's top 10. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right,
which, you know, when we did my webinar, you heard me talk about, you don't start your career off in a top 10 market, which that was my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly what happened. No. But you know, I hear you. That was just my journey and how it looked. And we talk about journeys all the time.
Right.
Okay. So you're doing the parties, you're doing all of these things, but you're still working your corporate. You got that good corporate job. And then, you know, you finally take that leap of faith, and then fast forward, you get married.
Yep.
You all have a beautiful daughter.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you tell your wife, I'm stepping away.
Yeah. So honestly, that didn't happen like for real until about 4 years ago.
Okay.
A little bit, something like that.
Right. I fast forward way too fast.
Yeah,
sorry.
No. That's fine, though. That's fine.
Yeah.
But again, even while I was at corporate, I always found ways to do my thing on the side. So
okay.
I was writing books. I was actually producing podcasts. I was still doing that while I was at corporate.
Right.
Right. So, but I was doing it for myself.
Mm-hmm.
So there was always that side thing. But it was definitely, you know, going from a good six-figure job to, okay, now it's all on me, was
mm-hmm.
definitely a transition for her and for me.
Yeah. Yeah. So what was the hardest thing, obviously, besides money?
The money. I think the expectation was wrong, right?
Okay.
Because you think, okay, well, if I have all day to do this, then surely I can generate, you know,
much more revenue.
Right, much more revenue.
Yeah.
And understanding a sales cycle, which I didn't know that because I always had a job. Just because you start talking to somebody about a project doesn't mean that the money's coming.
Right.
Right. So there's that whole process of the conversation. And then when you're dealing with certain types of people, there's that, okay, well, if you say your price is this, they want to know how can they get it for cheaper and
yes.
still get the same value.
Right.
So there was that transition, and then the whole mindset, and then bills keep coming. So now you're juggling, you're robbing Peter to pay Paul. So I think the mindset part of it was real big.
Yeah. What exactly does your day consist of now? Like, you have teams now, you have people that are on certain projects. If someone says the Joyner Method or Anthony Joyner, like, what do you do?
So first, one of the best things that I ever did 4 years ago is I started meditating, because prior to that, I was literally about to have panic attacks. Mm-hmm. Because if you're the linchpin in a lot of different people's projects, mm-hmm. but you're not the person that's actually delivering the work, then you're depending on other people to come through and do things so that you can deliver to the client.
Right.
Right. Well, I was one of those people that I had to do everything. So I'm building landing pages, and I'm doing Facebook ads, and I'm doing Instagram ads, and I'm doing webs. I'm doing everything myself. And again, the way I had it set up, people would text me directly.
Right.
So I'm getting text messages from clients at, you know, 1 a.m, 5 a.m, like pretty much all day. Right. And it was more than just, you know, what's the status. It was, hey, I went into this thing and added this to my site, and now it's broken. I need you to fix it. Right. Because I didn't have the whole contract written out to where, okay, after this is, I was learning, right?
Right.
Just learning. So, but once I started meditating, it started to help me get clear on things. Right.
Right.
And then I focused a lot on personal development, because I'm really, really big into personal development, because I think that once we can understand and master ourselves, then we can really offer more, add more value to other people.
And then
people.
Personal development, especially for you, because I know we're close. We're really close friends, like in real life. It's an ongoing thing.
It's every day.
And I've learned that from you. And it's just really helped me to develop and become a better person myself.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go back to meditating, because you just posted something really interesting on Facebook, this, the steps of meditating. And meditation has so many different definitions mm-hmm. for people.
Mm-hmm.
And I
mm-hmm.
love how you said you have to make meditation your own. I love the steps that you took.
If you
could please share with our listeners, if you can remember what you said.
Because
you know how sometimes Facebook, you're talking, like, what'd I say? What are your steps when you meditate, or how would you suggest people meditate?
Okay, so let's take meditation. So first of all, the first time that I was introduced to meditation, it was about clearing your mind.
Right.
Right. It's about being quiet and being still and om and all this
right,
stuff.
Right, right.
I was like, first of all, it didn't work for me like that in the beginning, right? And it is a practice, right? So once you understand it's a practice, it's something that you never really master. You mm-hmm. just do it over and over again. And you become good at it, but it's still a practice every time you do it.
Right, like practicing medicine.
Exactly, because things change, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So anyway, so when I first started, the hardest thing was clearing my mind. But then Vishen Lakhiani, who I read one of his books, again, and all my books that I'm reading all the time, he introduced this thought of focusing on things that are important to you, right? So he had like all these different steps, but I've kind of created my own, right? So again, it's very simple, 2 to 5 minutes, or maybe even more. I'm sorry, not 2 to 5, but 5 to 10 minutes, more if you can. But if you can, you know, sit, be quiet, quiet place, close your eyes, and first think about something that you're extremely grateful for, right? So then you have gratitude. Okay, I'm grateful for my family.
Yes.
I'm grateful for my job. I'm grateful for the opportunity to create this for that person. I'm grateful for family and friends, right? So you think about gratefulness
mm-hmm.
in your immediate home or surroundings, and then you spread it out to the world,
mm-hmm.
right? So I'm grateful for people that you hadn't spoken with in a long time. Are you grateful for, you know, different things that are manifesting in their lives? So that's one part.
Nice.
The second part is love, right? All the things that you love. So if you can just sit there, first think about gratitude, now love. What are the things that you love,
wow.
right? First, your family.
Yeah.
Again, same thing, family, friends, and then you extend it outward.
Right.
And then you think empathy, right?
Wow,
because
that's good.
Empathy is understanding that people have different perspectives. And you may or may not agree with those perspectives, but you respect them.
Mm-hmm.
And you still want well from the person, right? And
right.
I think a big part of empathy, at least for me, is separating the thing from the person.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't think anyone wakes up saying, I'm going to go be a jerk today.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they do things that represent that behavior, that's a thing that they did, but that's not the person.
They are.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the world is now. We want to say you're an asshole, or you're,
uh-huh.
you know, it's
uh-huh.
not that. It's separating it. Right. And I think once you can do that, it just makes it easier. That's why I don't get into arguments on Facebook. I think we talked about that before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
mm-hmm.
get into all that. I used to.
Yeah.
But not anymore. Right. Because people are hurt and they're sharing these feelings and these emotions or whatever. But that's not the person. So I can empathize with the person and not agree with them. So
nice.
During
nice.
The meditation, who are the people that I'm empathizing with? Right. So even the president.
Right.
right.
I was about
not
to say, I literally was about to say, well, what you think about? How can
yeah.
you have, how can you show empathy for someone who seems to have so much disdain and hate in their heart?
Well, I don't, first of all, I don't take it personally.
Okay.
I think that's a reflection of his experiences and the life that he's created around himself and the people that he surrounds himself with. So I don't think, you know, again, even Donald Trump, as all the horrible things that he says and does or whatever, I don't think he wakes up like, okay, who can I be an asshole to?
I beg to differ, darling.
Right. You're right.
Right.
But again, I don't take things personally.
Okay.
Like, I used to take everything personally. Someone say, oh, you can't do this, and I'm doing it.
Right.
But now I don't take things personally. So I incorporate that into my meditation. So it's thankfulness, it's love, it's empathy. There are two other ones, but it can be unique to you,
right?
You can spend your whole 5 or 10 minute meditation just thinking about those things, right? Now, another part is things will come up in your mind, right? You'll have the sensation in your arm and you'll have all these different things. But if they do come up in your mind, you can release those thoughts as well.
Right.
Right. So it's breathing, it's, you know, focusing on your breath. And again, I don't want to get like
it's
super
fine.
Deep into it.
It's totally fine.
But yeah, it's focusing on your breath, being quiet, and then starting to have those thoughts and appreciate, oh, appreciation.
Yeah.
Right. Who are the people that you appreciate?
Right.
Right.
Now, how does that differentiate from gratefulness, or they're kind of one and the same?
Actually, I think those are the same.
Okay.
So gratitude and appreciation.
Right, right,
so
right.
What is it? Love.
So I got gratefulness, love, empathy. That's what I have.
Gratefulness. I can't think of the other two.
Right.
But I have a whole graphic that I'll share.
Okay.
Actually, we can put it on Cool Soul Roar.
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. Because, and you didn't get to that point easily. This was a process.
It was definitely a process. And I think that through the personal development process, trying to become a better person.
Yeah.
And again, nobody's perfect, right? And I don't judge myself for not being perfect anymore, which is another huge thing.
And I think a lot of that comes from, you know, our upbringing.
Yes.
I think when we start to step outside of the norms of what we've been brought up to believe through Christianity, through, you know, you gotta go to church. And then even I am still, there's a part of me, because I am exploring universal thought and conversations with God and reading more things that deal with my development spiritually without religious walls.
Sure.
It has just made me, the part of me is like, oh my God, I didn't go to church today. Oh my God.
Yeah.
That guilt from growing up.
The guilt from growing up. Right.
And you released yourself from that.
Yeah. I try not to have that anymore.
Okay.
You know, I grew up going to church 7 days a week.
Like, right.
Sundays was an all day thing. Mm-hmm. Right. I did play the drums in my church too.
Come on, drums and draw.
Right. I know. but, you know, I was raised by my grandmother and everything was God. Mm-hmm. Right. And not to say that it's not anymore, but now I don't judge other people. I don't judge other religions. I think that at the core of religion, it's being a good person.
Yes.
Right.
Love.
How can you, it's love. Mm-hmm. Right. It's all about love. And I don't think that just because someone was born of a different belief system that they're going to be doomed to an eternal fire and brimstone hell.
Yes.
Which is brought up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? If you did not, you know, accept the Lord and Savior as your whatever, then you were going to hell. Now, I don't judge other people who would judge me for thinking that.
Right. Right.
And I know that sounds kind of a
little
crazy.
Totally fine.
But it's accepting other people and accepting things that happen and understanding how are you going to respond to those things and then choosing which things to respond to, because everything doesn't deserve a response.
Right. God, so, that's good.
Yeah. I love
it. And so you, how long was this maturation for you at the point where you are now? When did you see yourself changing? You said you started meditation. What year was that? And then you, as you continue to transform as a human being to where you are now?
2013, I think, is when I started to meditate.
Okay.
And the gentleman that introduced me was Questlove's uncle. He was a counselor that I went to. He was a person that told me if I didn't stop what I was doing at the time and I was promoting and doing all these different things, that I would end up losing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And he was referencing my family, wife, whatever, because, again, I'm in the clubs 3 nights a week.
Right.
Coming home, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock
right,
in the morning.
Right.
Everything that comes with that. I don't have to get in detail,
well,
but y'all
of course,
can figure out
everything
what that is.
That comes with that.
Everything
it's
that
too
comes
many
with
too,
that.
It's too much.
It is a lot.
And especially if you're not protecting your spirit.
Your spirits. And that's another thing.
Yeah.
It is what I've learned how to do is create my own safe place.
Oh, nice.
Right? So here's what I did. I do this every single day. Every day on Facebook, you get a birthday reminder.
Mm-hmm.
And every day I go through and I look at who's having a birthday and I'm like, okay, does this person still serve the life that I'm living today? And I delete people.
Right. That's great.
Right. Because the most embarrassing thing happened is just when I was still in corporate. We were in a meeting. I opened up my phone, and there was somebody like twerking, like right on my time, I'm the only brother in the room. I still had dreads then, but you know, I remember the music would automatically play
come up.
When
you didn't have control over the volume
like,
at that time.
I'm shuffling, and everybody looked at it, and it was this awkward silence. I'm like, man, well, I got some friends on Facebook, so trying to play it off. But at that point, I'm like, you know what? Where I want to go, this is not where I want
to
go anymore.
Yeah, and everybody doesn't need to be on your timeline
or in your space. Think about it. Everything that you take in becomes a part of you, right? So if you can protect what you take in, then it helps you, you know, create a space that you can create in. Because how can I create when I'm constantly full of other stuff? And even this morning, I watched you on the show. Which congratulations for that.
Thank you.
But after the show, Maury came on. Mm-hmm. So after the show, I went for a little run through the neighborhood.
Right.
I came back. And I'm on a call, and I just hear all this screaming in the background. I'm like, Lord, let me turn this Mari off.
Right.
Because just hearing that, cussing, and you ain't the baby mama. And
right.
It crowds your space.
It
so
does.
So I think if we learn to protect our space, then it just creates more opportunity for us.
Yes. Yeah. And it's been beautiful to watch you, even in we've been acquainted like this maybe 4 or 5 years, just to see you change, and then in turn, you change other people around you. So I'm really grateful for your leadership and at least me tapping into those other sides of who I am, mm-hmm. which have been there but have not been tapped into.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm thankful and grateful for your leadership in that space. I really am.
Word, appreciate it.
I am. And
but
so
I think we all have it, though.
Yeah.
I think we all have it. And I think we just have to take the time. We have to understand that we have it and that we don't have to depend on other people for information. We don't have to look to other people for mentorship, because you can get mentorship right from a book or a podcast.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
You have it, access to it right there.
Right.
You don't have to take AJ's webinar class. You can go YouTube it. You can get the book on or watch the podcast on webinars. Right? You don't have to. We're going to do a podcast class eventually, but if you want to learn about podcasting, go to YouTube.
Yeah, I mean,
there's a Learn How to Podcast podcast.
Yes, it is. And it's crazy because you know, you were trying to get me to do this whole podcast thing. And literally when I was like, okay, I finally, God gave me the idea. You were like, let's do it. I went to YouTube to figure out how to do GarageBand.
Right.
Same thing.
Right.
Yeah. But you
have access.
Yeah, you have access.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Beautiful. I mean, you have so many amazing clients. And it's like, I love the fact that you are so willing to give, even outside of the parameters of probably what is contractually written.
Yeah.
What makes you so giving?
So being raised by my grandmother, and my grandmother had to drop out of school to raise her siblings because her mother died when she was young. So she never got to go to college. And when she was young, her father told her that you're never going to be educated, so you won't live a glamorous life. But if you work and serve God and you work really hard and serve other people, then you'll always be blessed. I think the beauty and the tragedy of that is, number one, she believed him, so she never did anything else as far as investing in her own learning.
She gave everything away.
Right. She invested the rest of her life into raising her siblings and then raising my parents and then raising us. Now, my mom was there. She lived right next door, and the house was small, so we just stayed with my grandmother.
Right.
But watching her work 5 jobs.
Wow.
Listen, she was a janitor. After she left the school, she worked at the city bakery. So she baked donuts, cakes, pies, all that. She left there. She cleaned the doctor's offices, I think Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Tuesday, Thursday, she cleaned the dentist's office. And then on Saturday morning, she would get up and go clean houses for the people that she seen throughout the week. And then Sunday, she would iron their clothes.
Wow.
And she taught us, you know, again, it was always service. So when I would go during the summers, because we had to go help her work, I would watch her cleaning all the people's offices, and I would ask her, I say, Grandma, so why can't you get a job, or why can't you go back to school? And I'm like maybe 11 or 12. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to understand things. But her thing was, you know, if you always serve people and do the best at whatever it is that you're doing, then you'll always be taken care of. So I literally approach just about every engagement with service in mind.
Yes.
Like, how can I help this person? Right. Like, what are the things that I see from a technology / marketing / strategic perspective that they may not see? And then how can I bring that to their attention? Right. How can I help them with? I think our first interaction on Facebook is you posted something about needing a business plan.
Yeah. I did.
And I inboxed you a business plan.
You really did.
Like the full business plan.
And then we saw each other at a beer event.
Yep.
And I was like, hey, and you're like, hey, I inboxed you. And then like literally we've been
inseparable since
yeah,
then.
Talked,
like, probably pretty much every day since then. And it's just been a huge blessing in my life. Let's go back to the time that you found out, battled, and beat cancer.
So,
I know that I knew I threw one.
That's good. That's good. So let that be. I'm just going to say this now. Men, y'all listen to me because I'm here. I'm blessed. Definitely happy to be here. But when you feel something strange in your body, go to the doctor. I know we tough as hell. You know, we like, man, I'm good. I'm straight, whatever. But if it had not been for my now wife, girlfriend then, I wouldn't be here.
Right.
Because I saw the knot on my neck in August.
Right.
You know, I didn't go to the doctor till February.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. By the time I went to the doctor, it was it was the size of a plum. The tumor.
And when you first discovered it, it probably was like a little pea.
Yep. Right. So I found out, and then I was misdiagnosed by the first doctor. They were like, oh, it's probably an infection. Mm-hmm.
Salivary gland or something like that.
Yeah, that's what they said. Yep.
Yeah.
So I ignored it again. And then I finally went back toward the end of March, like, okay, this thing is still getting bigger. Like, what's up? So I went to a different doctor. And that was funny because I was planning an event. Huh. And I started getting headaches. And again, my now wife, she said, if you don't go to the doctor this week, then I'm going to have to start thinking about my future because you don't care about yourself and I care about me. We weren't married. We were nothing at the time. And she was like, if you don't care about yourself, then that shows me that you can't even take care of a family because you're not.
Right. You can't take care of yourself. How are you going to take care of me? Let it come out.
Let me just go to the doctor. So I went to the doctor at Piedmont. So they did the scan or whatever. And then, the nurse came in and I was like, so what's going on? Mm-hmm. So they were like, well, we're going to send, we need to get some more tests done. So, so then another doctor came in, and they did a full body scan and it turns out I had a brain tumor and cancer.
Oh my God.
Have a brain tumor now.
It was benign, obviously.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So I was like, whoa, what the hell? So then they sent me to another doctor to get, they had to stick this long ass syringe in my neck to draw, fluid from it to see what it was. And then that following Tuesday, now this is a Friday. I was getting ready for my weekend.
Right.
They kept me there. First of all, wouldn't let me go. And then finally, by the time I left, they said, there's a high probability that you have cancer. So I went to, that was actually a Thursday. So the next day I had to go to Buckhead to another doctor, did the syringe. Then the following Tuesday I had to have a biopsy and that's when they told me I had cancer. So it was tough, man. It was tough. I was 190 plus pounds when I started.
Right.
In the, treatment phase, I went from 100 and whatever that was to like 135.
My gosh.
I was wearing a 36 pants when I started and a 31, 32 by the time I was finished. I literally looked like a mop.
Man.
Real. It was tough. It was tough. But I think, having that and watching one experience specifically, there was a little girl. I was really frustrated because during the radiation, my tongue exploded.
Mm-hmm.
Like, have you ever, when you boil an egg?
Right, yeah.
And you overboil it and it cracks and the egg comes out? That's what happened to my tongue.
Man.
Radiation cooked my tongue.
Oh, my God.
So I was sitting there crying, complaining. My tongue was hurting. I couldn't sleep, the whole thing. And I go for a radiation treatment the next day. And there's this little girl sitting beside me with no hair, no eyebrows, nothing. And she was just as happy as can be. And I'm sitting here frumpy and mad. Because of what I'm going through.
Right.
So that kind of opened my eyes and made me understand, like, look, this little girl has found joy in her experience and I'm sitting up here complaining every day.
Yeah.
So it just taught me to, number one, appreciate the people around you because mm-hmm. that time was tough too. A lot of the people that I thought were friends, like literally just, I didn't
disappear.
Hear from them. Yeah.
It's crazy.
And I don't think, here's what I've learned looking back though. I think it has less to do with me and more to do with them, not in a bad or malicious way. But in other words, think about this. 3 weeks ago, everybody was talking about Hurricane Harvey.
Right.
Now we're talking about kneeling.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right?
Yes.
Those people are still hurting.
They are.
But the world goes on.
Wow.
Right? Every day, right? Every day something happens. First it was Harvey, then it was Kevin Hart, then it was Irma, and now it's like things move. Right.
Yeah, they do.
Right. But I took it personally for a long time, not realizing that it wasn't about me. Right. Nothing's ever about you. It's about the story that you tell yourself. So the story that I had was, okay, I have cancer. My friends aren't around, so they're not really friends. But in reality, it was, I had cancer. I just need to deal with the cancer. And the reason that people didn't come around, they had their own reasons. And it wasn't for me to try to interpret a reason why.
Yeah. Goodness.
So yeah, it was definitely an experience. Mm-hmm. Definitely an experience I learned a lot from.
Yeah. Man.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. So now currently you're in a space that I've never seen you in before. You recently cut your locks off.
20 plus years.
20 plus years. What was the catalyst for that? What made
they start thinning a little bit?
You didn't want to come. You didn't want that dude in the club.
But like so that, he need to go and cut him.
Go on,
you know?
And cut him, yo.
But nobody could see it though.
Okay, because you hit it very, very well.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
I never knew.
Yeah. And even the wife, she was like, nobody can see that. But one day I was like, you know what? I'm ready to move forward, right? Because I can't spend 15 minutes primping my head just to make, you know what I'm saying? And then everybody that's standing in front of me, I'm trying to hold my head back so they can't look.
So they can't see it.
I'm scared to sit down in the sports bar so I'm standing against the wall.
That's why you keep them hats on all the time.
Yeah, keep them hats on all the time. Like, oh, yeah, you got to have a fresh hat. But yeah, so there was nothing spiritual about it. Nothing. It was just, they started to thin. So it was like, okay, next step.
How does it feel?
It's cool. Like, one thing that I do notice, though, because especially in the space that I'm in, I go into a lot of rooms where I'm the only brown person when I'm in different conferences and things like that. And there's less of a reaction.
Right.
Much less of a reaction. So I do remember being questioned about how did I even get into technology because a black dude with dreads can't.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Especially when I was a consultant and I traveled, right? There would be a lot of people that were at different levels, high levels in business, and I'd be the only dude in there, and I got the dreads. Even black folks would be like, bro, you need to cut them dreads.
Right, right, ain't gonna.
You can move up further if you cut the dreads off.
Sound like you probably got to sound like a slave.
I know, that's what it was.
Right. That's what that mentality.
Master gonna get you.
You know you can't have them dreads. Right, right.
But again, there was nothing profound about it. Mm-hmm. It was just something that I did, and now I don't have them no more. So I'm just keep pushing.
You do look a little younger, though, without them.
Yeah, I look about 27 now.
About 27. Well, you know, I'm just really grateful, and I've said this over and over, and I've said it on several of our podcasts, just really grateful for your guidance in this friendship, because I would not be sitting here right now interviewing you had it not been for you constantly pushing me to be uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And I was uncomfortable with the webinar. I was uncomfortable with the podcast. Now I'm fully comfortable with the podcast.
Super comfortable.
Because of that step, and friendships matter. Because of you pushing me, you know, I said this on a solo podcast. That same week that we posted the teaser about the podcast was literally the same week that Helen Swenson, the EP of our show, who I see every day, who chose me along with these other amazing women and men that I work with, to do the sister circle. But we had to do our part, you know. You got to do your part, and I'm just publicly want to say thank you for
I saw, like, you love engaging with people.
I do.
And conversation. Mm-hmm. Right. And when I used to listen to you on the 18,
right,
I'm like, dang, you know. And then when we saw each other, I was like, listen, you got to keep talking, man. You got to keep talking.
Yeah, because I wasn't on the radio at the time.
You weren't on the radio.
Right.
So now you have over a year's worth of content. We just passed, I think we're at 210,000 unique downloads.
That's
which
crazy.
Is amazing. Then let me ask you this, though. I'm going to flip
go ahead, flip
a little
it.
Bit.
Flip it real quick before I got to take my baby to the dentist.
I know, before you got to go.
Right.
I said, before you got to go.
You're getting comfortable now.
Super comfortable.
Right.
But you have embraced the discomfort or being uncomfortable. I've seen you do it over and over and over again.
Right.
How does that constantly embracing being uncomfortable, how has that helped you grow, and how do you feel every time you have to do it again?
Wow. So the uncomfortability, even when you're in it, you're like, oh, this is uncomfortable, but I got to push through. And every time you push through the uncomfortability, you get to higher levels of truth and purpose. Mm-hmm. So now that I got through that first little few months of uncomfortability with the podcast, and even when we did our webinar and all those different things that I'm doing, selling the merchandise now and pricing stuff. Like yesterday I sold a journal and one of my stores was like, well, how much is it? I was like, 20, you know, and it was 20 in person, but you know, online it's going to be 25, you know, but you got to know your worth. And all of those different levels of uncomfortability just confirms when you're walking in your purpose. Mm-hmm. And so now to be sitting there on TV nationally and doing this and can't even imagine where the podcast is going to go at the same time, it mm-hmm. just confirms purpose.
Yeah.
It just confirms purpose, and mm-hmm. you just got to keep pushing through. You have to keep pushing through.
I love it. And yeah. one of the things that I've noticed in you is that, or even in the process, is that every time you push through the discomfort, you get confidence out of it.
Yes.
Because I remember when you first started.
Yeah.
Even with the webinar. First, remember we did the first few together, and then you were like, okay, I got it.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And now you're taking the podcast around with you. Remember the
yeah.
Skype? First, you was like, I got to do it in
Skype,
person.
Right.
Now everything, it gives you more confidence. So the next thing that you approach, you know, okay, I just conquered this. I conquered mm-hmm, that. Mm-hmm. Now what's next?
Right.
So I've seen that confidence in being uncomfortable, and it gives you more confidence to do the next uncomfortable
yeah.
thing. It just becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right. And then again, like you mentioned, these things that we're doing, we have people watching and mm-hmm. depending on our next move so that they can make the next move with their life.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I think that's what purpose is all about. And I mm-hmm. think that's what living in your truth and standing in your truth is what it's all about. When you take yourself out of the equation,
yes.
that's when living starts.
That's when it starts. And that's what I was saying. It's never about you. And even with me, like when I'm talking to someone, I'm fully into them. Like,
yes,
how can I help
fully.
Them? How can I, what is the next idea that I can create for you?
Right.
So that you can take yourself to the next level.
That's the one thing about you that I know that's a constant, like, hey man, you did this. I love you. I love you. But the one thing about you, and I've seen you do it with so many different clients, is when you sit down with a client, you make them feel like they are the only thing that you have going on. They are the most important thing on your list. And you have a plethora of clients, but that makes people trust you, one, mm-hmm. and keep coming back for
yeah.
more. Yeah.
Well, part of it is because I love what I do.
Yeah.
Like, literally
yes,
love
you
it.
Do.
And I would do it for free.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
but we can't
totally.
Not, AJ.
I can't,
we can't
I mean,
do it. Okay.
I can't, but I would, though.
Right.
Like, I'm thinking about doing just free conferences where I just help everybody in the room for
right.
free.
Right. And then you just sell your merchandise and stuff on the side? You can sell your books on the side?
No, I mean, because I think that's a part of brand,
I hear
right?
You.
It's part
I
of building you. Brand. If I can, you know, help 5 people with 500 people in the room, and I know you got to run.
Right.
Then, you know, it helps my brand, but it also helps those people that are being focused on, but it also helps everyone that watches as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and again, the more you help people, the more, what I've learned is, excuse me, your demand grows.
Yep.
And then your prices go up.
Yep.
So instead of approaching people like, hey, I got a master's degree in this and this. This is how much I am. Why don't you help somebody get a win first?
Mm-hmm.
And then, even when we started working on last story, remember the first thing we did with the book?
Oh, yeah. We made it go number 3 on Amazon.
We took it from 500 something to number 3.
Right.
I was like, well, let's do this first because I just want to show you that I know a little bit about
right.
what I'm talking about. And then you were like, okay, let's sit down.
Right, let's sit down. I think you're
okay,
smart.
You might know a little
you're
something.
You're smart, yeah. man. You're smart.
So when you think about working with clients or working with people or even just in any relationship, how can you help that person win?
Yes.
And then you'll win.
Love it. Your definition of cool.
So my definition of cool is being able to occupy a space and being comfortable without depending on someone else to validate your presence there.
Oof.
Right. I think because I used to be real big, like you have to say, man, I'm in the building, you know, whatever. Right. Now I'm cool. Like I can literally just go somewhere and be in my little cut in the corner and post up and be totally cool about that. And I'm a pretty gregarious person.
Yes,
you know,
you are.
I like to engage.
Right.
But now it's more comfort with who I am as a person
mm-hmm.
Because I know ultimately I want to help people. And I know that it doesn't take validation from someone else to help me as a person feel anything about myself.
Beautiful. AJ, how can people find you and get some of this good old knowledge that you've been spitting for this last 41 minutes?
Easy. get@anthonyjoyner.com. That's my email, direct email. I reply to everybody. On Instagram, AJ Joyner, on Facebook, Anthony AJ Joyner. Or you can email coolsorority.
You can do
AJ cool, at coolsorority.com.
Right, right. No, I took it out because you weren't using
you?
It. Cool
okay.
at coolsorority.com.
Okay,
yes.
That too.
Well, thank you so much. I
thank
appreciate
you,
your time being our debut on the Cool People portion of the Cool Soror podcast. We're really, really happy that you were here to kick it off. And I'm like, who other than AJ to kick it off.
Word, I really appreciate that. And this is fun, dude.
It is
I
fun,
forgot
right?
how fun it was
right,
to be on
right,
talk.
Right, it's all good.
I love it.
Anthony AJ Joyner, everybody.
Word. What's up, everybody? I'm Anthony A.J. Joyner. I'm a digital strategist. I'm a marketing maven, and I am officially cool people.